we were doing the laws of cooking and baking on Shabbos, and then we went on to discuss the rabbinic prohibitions. We discussed that in ancient times they used to cook on coals, and so it was very common that people would stir the coals. Stirring the coals on Shabbos involves two prohibitions. One is that you're igniting the lower coals by stirring the coals, and two is that you're putting out the upper coals, which will later on be used for igniting again. So stirring the coals is a biblical prohibition, one or two biblical prohibitions. And so our sages prohibited leaving things on the fire in a manner which would encourage or would facilitate that mistake of stirring the coals on Shabbos. So they gave us criterion. You want to leave something on the fire going into Shabbos, you have to do it in a way that you've ensured you will not come to stirring the coals. Okay? This idea of leaving something on the fire from Friday going into Shabbos is called shehiyah. Yes? Shehiyah. In modern Hebrew, when you put your computer on standby, that's called shehiyah. Okay? You put it on standby. So leaving a pot on the fire going into Shabbos, you're leaving it, so to speak, on standby on the coals, that's called shehiyah. So what are our criteria? Number one, I cannot leave something that's not fully cooked. If I leave something that's partially cooked, so then I'm going to be thinking about it going into Shabbos, and I might come to stir the coals. So our first issue is leaving something that's not fully cooked. Within that, we have a leniency. If I'm leaving it for the morning, so it will definitely cook by the morning, I'm not going to come to stir the coals. Meaning if I'm leaving something that's not fully cooked, that's only if I intend to eat it at night. Then I might come to stir my coals. But if I'm leaving it there till the morning, or chillin' or something, then I don't have that issue. Remember, we keep bringing up this point, that if you're leaving a chulent that's not fully cooked, then you have to be careful not to deal with it. You can't move it around, because then you might be cooking it on Shabbos, right? You can't take off the lid and return the lid, because you're causing the cooking on Shabbos. But in regards to shehiyah, in regards to putting it up on the plata or the fire, going into Shabbos, so then number one criterion is it should be cooked. It could be that it gets better as it dries on the fire, just like our chulent very often improves as it sits on the fire, but it has to be fully cooked. So that's number one. Yes, so far, so good. Number two is hachzara. Okay, if I have something on the fire going into Shabbos and it's fully cooked, so our sages said, if you take it off the fire and then you put it back on a half hour later, it looks like you're cooking on Shabbos. Hachzara is another rabbinic prohibition, which is we don't want you to do something that looks like you're cooking on Shabbos. So how do we get out of that? We do things to the fire to make it obvious that we're not cooking on that fire on Shabbos. What you might do, we'll see. We'll see. We'll come back to that. The third rabbinic prohibition is hatmana. We're just doing an overview, and then we'll start going into each one. The third rabbinic prohibition is hatmana. So they didn't have ways to maintain heat. So how did they maintain heat? They would bury their food in the coals. Standard practice was that their pots were always black. That's why their word for black is kedar. Kedera is a pot, and their pots were always black because their pots were covered with the ash. So one of the ways they would ensure to maintain heat was by burying things in remits and burning coals. You wanted to keep your food warm. How did you do it? That was the way you did it. Now, this was the standard hatmana. That was the standard way in which you would... lehatmin literally means to hide. In modern English, what word would we use when you want to encase something to maintain heat? Incubate, maybe, okay. So their hatmana, their incubation was done with something that involves a biblical prohibition. It was done with coals. So our sages said, if we allow a person to do other forms of hatmana, if we're going to allow a person on Shabbos to encase or incubate his hot food, so then he will come to do it the way he does it all week in the coals. Insulate, okay. So our sages prohibited doing Atmanah on Shabbos. So let's take an example of that. You want to wrap a potato, a cooked potato. You have a potato or a baked potato that you want to put on the plata. However you do that on Shabbos. We'll get back to how you can do that. Can you wrap it in silver foil? So you're insulating it. So we leave one side open. If you leave one of the sides open so you haven't insulated it, so then that's okay. So even though you're wrapping it in silver foil, you've left one side open, so that's okay. Let's say, there are two types of Atmanah. There's Atmanah that you do on a Friday. There's Atmanah that you do on Shabbos. Meaning sometimes your plata isn't big enough for all the food. You bring the food to a boil. You have boiling hot soup you want to eat Friday night. But if you want the chillin for tomorrow morning, and you want the hot water for tomorrow morning, and you want your meat for tomorrow morning, maybe you're doing a Sheva Brachos, and you don't have enough room on your plata. So now, what you want to do is that soup that you've brought to a boil on Friday, just before you light candles, you want to wrap it up in a way that will maintain its heat. So we will discuss how you can do that, because one of the things you can do is wrap it in a blanket. And you'd be surprised it retains its heat. You know, if you take a pot of soup, make sure you don't burn yourself, and you put it in a place where kids won't burn themselves and won't spill. But if you wrap it up, there are ways to retain its heat without leaving an extra fire on and without leaving it on the plata. So that, there's Atmanah on Friday, and there's Atmanah on Shabbat. On Shabbat, I'm never allowed to do Atmanah. So on Shabbat, I always have to leave one of the sides open. That's in order that I don't do Atmanah. Atmanah on Friday, so there I have limitations, and we'll discuss that as we get there. Say there. So we discussed four concepts now. We discussed Shehiyah, leaving food on the fire from Friday going into Shabbos. We said the general criterion is going to be that the food should be fully cooked. We discussed Hachzara, putting food back on the fire on Shabbos when it's fully cooked, but it shouldn't seem like I'm cooking on Shabbos. So we'll discuss those criterion as well. We discussed Hatmanah on Shabbat, where we said there's no way it would be permissible. So what we do is we leave one side open, as Ashkenazim. If there are any Sfardim here, so we'll have to discuss Hatmanah for Sfardim. It's slightly different. But Ashkenazim hold that if you left one side open, so then you didn't insulate it completely, that's permissible on Shabbos. And then we discussed Hatmanah on Friday, which we'll still get back to where it's permissible and prohibited. The general rule is, when it's something that is supportive of the heat, that's prohibited on Friday. If it's something that's not supportive of the heat, it's just retaining the heat, that's permissible on Friday. But we'll get to greater detail as we come back to it. What? Hatmanah on Shabbat or Hatmanah on Friday? We have Shehiyah on Friday, Hachzara on Shabbat, Hatmanah on Shabbat, and Hatmanah on Friday. Those are the four we discussed so far. The next issue we can have is if you want to thaw something out, you want to warm something, and your intention is to take it away. You just want it to thaw out. But you may not put it in a place where it will reach Yad Soledespo, where if left unattended, it will reach the point of Yad Soledespo. So let's take an example. I had someone in our house last Shabbos who has a tooth problem. Now, he wanted to wash out his mouth. He wanted to rinse his mouth before he goes to sleep. He takes the water out of the tap, and the water is so cold, he yelps when he puts it in his mouth. Now, what does he want to do? He wants to warm that water up. So would it be permissible to take a pan of water, put it on the hot plate, on the plata, take it off after a minute? All he's doing is warming it up. He didn't cook it. He never brought it to a boil. He never brought it to Yad Soledespo. So the halacha says, irrespective of the laws of Hachzara, meaning let's leave Hachzara for a minute. What's one way to get around Hachzara? We said you're not allowed to put food back on a hot plate because it'll look like you're cooking. So that's one problem. Problem number two is he's taking fresh water. He's going to put that on the hot plate. It will cook on Shabbos. So that's a biblical prohibition. So what does he want to do? He wants to do an important leniency. You guys should know we have a radiator in the house, right? So let's say you want to reheat your food Shabbos morning. You may put the food on a radiator. If the food was fully cooked before Shabbos, so what's my issue? My issue is achzara. It looks like I'm cooking on Shabbos. I'm putting it back on the flame. No one cooks on a radiator. And our radiators today, no one cooks on them. So a decade ago, they made radiators so that they never reached Yad Soledes Bo, in order to protect children, because children sometimes when they touch something hot, they hold on and they don't let go. That's something that children can do by mistake, and then they could get severely burnt, especially babies. So they used to make radiators so that they never reached Yad Soledes Bo, so that if a baby held on to it, he shouldn't get severely burnt. They changed that. I know because I bought a new radiator this winter, and suddenly I discovered that the radiator reaches Yad Soledes Bo, that the radiator can reach a heat where I can't touch it. I touch it and I pull back my hand. So that's a new thing. So if you had the radiators from a decade ago, so then you could put the pan of water on it because it'll never reach Yad Soledes Bo. You have, if you leave it there all Shabbos long, being that the radiator isn't Yad Soledes Bo, so the water on top won't reach Yad Soledes Bo. What's our issue? We said we have, even though it won't cook, it'll look like you're cooking. No one cooks on radiators today, right? So it doesn't look like cooking. I don't have that rabbinic problem. It won't come to cooking. I don't have the biblical or the rabbinic problem. It won't come to cooking. It's not biblical. And even if I would leave it there just for a minute to warm out, to thaw out, so that's where we have this rabbinic prohibition. The rabbi said, if you're putting it in a locale where if left unattended, it will reach Yad Soledes Bo, even though you're saying, I'll take it away in a minute, that's not enough. I'll tell you another thing that we do, which you might want to do. We always ensure that our plata is raised. Our hot plate, our electric hot plate, is in a place where the kids can't touch it. Because every year there are children that die or get very, very severely wounded because parents left their hot plate or their hot water Shabbos urn in a place where the kid could pull the cord or could knock it down, and the kids got severely burnt. So kids die from this every year, and kids also get severely burnt from it. So we always try to ensure that our hot things are raised, are in a place where the kids can't access it. So where do we do it? We put it on top of the fridge. But a decade ago, they used to make hot plates so they didn't get so hot. And even if a towel would sit on the hot plate, it would not burn. They changed that. I know that in the last 5 years, we had to buy a new hot plate. And we had a fire in the house because we weren't prepared that they raised the heat. And even though for a decade, we had always left the towel on top of the pots and it never got on fire. With this new hot plate, it got on fire. We had a fire in the house on Shabbos, yeah. So I put it out. You want to know the full story? I'll tell you the full story. No, it's an important story. I was homesick. It was a winter Shabbos. It was a snowy Shabbos about 2 or 3 years ago. And Shabbos morning, I got up and I said, okay, I can't make it to shul. But what had happened was in the middle of the night, we had a newborn baby. Sarah was just born then. So it must have been 2 years ago. We had a newborn baby in the house. And at around 1 o'clock in the morning, the light bulb in the bathroom blew and took out the whole house with it. Fine. So I said, the house was really hot. I said, it's warm enough now that it's not a danger to the child. I'll wait till the morning. I got up at 6 o'clock. I saw that I got to get a non-Jew, someone to turn on the electric, because the baby's there's a baby in the house. So I got dressed. Went outside, found a non-Jewish woman who helped an old man, and I asked her if she's, or a man, I don't remember, whoever it was, came down, turned on the fuse, and all our electric turns back on. I thank the person, I get back into bed. I tell myself, you know, I'm not feeling so great, I should take some garlic. So I took 2 cloves of garlic, and that cleaned me up. So as I'm going back to sleep, I suddenly smell some smoke. So I said to myself, that can't be. Why would there be smoke? I'm about to go back to sleep, and I said to myself, you got to do due diligence. You got to check what it is. Now, I always wonder, when do you cross the line? When are you being obsessive compulsive, and when are you doing due diligence? So I couldn't decide, but I said, you know what? Err on the side of caution. So I get up, I start looking around the house. Where's the smoke? We had a enclosed porch in the back of the house. So I go back there, and I take a look. That's where the planta was. I told you, we always keep the planta where the kids can't touch it. So we kept it in this closed, locked porch. I go outside, and I look at the towel that's covering the food. And I see that the towel is brown, black, so it's gotten burnt a little bit. So I said to myself, okay, that's funny. We've been doing this for years. Why is it getting burnt? I still didn't understand what was going on. So I lifted the towel, so it shouldn't come in direct contact with the plata. Put it on the pots a little bit better, went back to bed. I go back to bed. I smell smoke again. So now I know I have a problem. I go back out to the porch, and when I lift the towel, I see the bottom of the towel is red-hot coals, literally red coals. So I see the smoke coming out of the bottom of the towel, and I hadn't realized when I lifted the towel that it was red coals. I said to myself, okay, it's raining outside. I tried lifting the towel to see if the coals would just go out on their own. I said to myself, okay, I'm not allowed to put out the fire. I don't have any danger now. I could sit here and just watch the coals turn off. But there's nothing wrong if I put it outside the window to burn itself out, like to dry out. And then I'm not effectively putting out the fire. I'm okay. So I take the towel and I toss it out the window. As I toss out the window, I say to myself, wait a second, things are actually wet outside. If I leave it out there, I am putting it on a damp place and rain is going to come in it. That's actually, I am putting out the fire. Now, luckily, I thought that because what I didn't realize was that that wind effect of putting it out the window had turned on a fire. And what I also didn't realize at that time was that all around that porch were the gas balloons. But I didn't realize any of this. So I pull in the towel and I see I have a full fire now. I hadn't realized it because it turned on fire outside. I pull in the towel and I put it on the floor in this closed porch. And I look at the fire and I say to myself, this is pretty safe, I think. I could watch it die out. And then I said to myself, every time we learn the laws of Shabbos here at Machon Meir, I tell the guys, in the moment of fire, you don't have enough presence of mind to know if it's a danger or not. I look around the enclosed porch. It's a tiny room. And I said to myself, you can't calculate if there's a piece of paper that could catch on fire. You can't calculate. You have to go by what you teach. You always tell the guys, you cannot calculate at the moment of an emergency. It's pikuach nefesh. Put out the fire. So I grab a bucket of water, and I pour it on the outside of the towel, and I see the center flame is going up. So then I poured it on the flame. Now, only after I had put out the fire, and there were little coals which really were not a danger, and I could sit there and watch them go out, only then did I realize that I was in danger and the whole building was in danger because there were gas lines running there. But like I always say, in the moment of an emergency, you can't calculate everything. I didn't calculate that. My initial thought was, what's the danger here? And I had to force myself to put out that fire on Shabbos. I said to myself, you don't know if you're calculating everything, and if you're wrong, you're endangering everyone. And I was wrong. I was wrong. I had forgotten that all around me, all around that little porch, were gas balloons, and there were gas lines running all over there. And I at that moment, when I was looking at the fire, I tried looking around to see what's the danger. Can I just wait and see the fire put itself out? Okay, so that's the story. I'm saying it's an important lesson because that rule, here I am, I'm half asleep, I'm sick, I'm not focused, and I'm dealing with a fire, and I'm trying to think halachically, should I put it out or shouldn't I put it out? And my decision was, if you can't be 100% sure, then you have to put it out. And it was the right decision. But I went with the rule. It's important. That's why in emergency situations, it's important to have rules. Because if you try to figure it out on the moment, you're not necessarily catching everything. Okay, so back to here. So back to our radiator. Modern-day radiators, what they're making now here in Israel, that the radiators do reach a higher heat. So if you would take a big enough pot and put it on the radiator so that that pot would never reach Yatzoledisbo, it would never reach that heat where you have to pull away your hand, so then you're allowed to put that pot on the radiator. That's this rabbinic prohibition. That even though I want to warm something up, so this person in our house asked me, how do I warm up the water? I want to rinse my mouth before I go to sleep. How do I warm the water? So the answer is, you take water in a manner in which it will never reach Yatzoledisbo, That's number one. So you take a large enough quantity of water. You put it in a place where it doesn't look like you're cooking on Shabbos. On the radiator, it doesn't look like you're cooking. If you'd put a small amount, it could reach Yantzel Edispo. You put a large amount, it won't reach Yantzel Edispo. So that's this rabbinic prohibition, that I may not put something, even though I just want it to thaw out, I may not, something that's not cooked, like water, right? It wasn't pre-cooked. I may not put it where it will become cooked. What's the logic behind it? It's simple. You might forget. How many times do people forget something on the fire? So we're scared. A person will forget, and then he'll end up cooking on Shabbos. Yes? Yes, he could have added hot water from there. That's another good solution, right?
That's a question. At which point is he able to forego the rabbinical prohibition? Like, at which point of personal suffering, is there a threshold in which you can forego this? Because like you said about the individual who had the issues with his tooth, right? That the cold water is bringing him to such a level of personal suffering. At which point can he try to transcend and go above it?
So we don't usually do that. Usually,
he has to just endure that.
Find a different solution. Okay. Saying it's rare that we'll say forgo a rabbinic prohibition. Look, a person doesn't have to give up his life, and a person doesn't have to give up his health. If a person, there are rabbinic prohibitions where we'll say for medical needs that bimkom choli lo gazur rabbanan. We have instances where we say when a person's suffering, when a person's ill, so then our sages did not prohibit it. Then the rabbinic prohibition is not relevant. But in this case, there are other solutions. Why I wouldn't be so quick to forgo it. Meaning it's true that a rabbinic prohibition is sometimes more lenient than a biblical one. But again, let's find a different solution first. yes? So a certain level of sevel equals holy. Yeah. A certain amount of suffering will equal holy. That's true. You can't say, you have an ingrown toenail. So an ingrown toenail could be very bad. I shouldn't give that example. But there are levels of suffering. There's for sure a level of suffering which the halacha views as illness. Yes. When we say because of illness, someone asked me if he could take an Advil because we don't know, Advil doesn't say it's kosher. So I said that we take, last night we discussed this, that we do take aspirin and stuff like that even though it doesn't have a hechsher, because even if it has non-kosher components, they're not edible. But eating something non-kosher in a manner that's not edible is a rabbinic prohibition. It's not that you can now take a pig, wrap it up in paper, and say, I'm eating it in a way that I derive no pleasure, so it's permissible. No, it's rabbinically prohibited. So that rabbinic prohibition is permissible when a person's ill. So the guy says, but I have migraines. I have terrible headaches. I'm not ill. Yeah, but in halacha, that's also considered ill. The halacha doesn't say you have to have a high fever. Meaning a person in great pain is also considered like he's ill. If a person is just, it's something minimal. There you have room to discuss whether we'd permit it. But when a person's in pain, when a person's suffering, so that's also an element where that would cause us to permit it. We have Tanis Esther coming up now, right? So people who are ill, you don't have to be deathly ill. A person who's under the weather, a person who has psychological issues, emotional issues. So we don't tell them, start seeing how it's going to affect you. Let's see how you'll weather the storm of the fast, how that's going to affect your meds. We say, don't fast. There's a question whether a person who has psychological issues should fast on Yom Kippur. But on the lighter fast, like Tisha B'Av or Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, or I said Tisha B'Av, I meant to say Tanis Esther, Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, the lighter fast, Som Gedalia. So we say a person shouldn't risk it on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. So we revisit the question, even though we're also biased to be lenient, because health is health. So even though on general health issues on Yom Kippur, the biblical fast, were more stringent, but even there, on psychological issues, so we have to really evaluate the question. So that's a good example. You have a rabbinic prohibition coming this week, Tanis Esther. But if someone's even slightly ill, we'll tell them don't fast. A pregnant woman, a nursing woman, right? So those are good examples where the rabbis said it's don't do our rabbinic institution under these conditions. It's not that a person says, because I feel this way, I can transgress the rabbinic prohibition. It's that the rabbi said, when we make the institution bimkom holy, in circumstance of illness, lo gazru rabbanan. The rabbis did not make this institution. So that's what I always tell people if they say, I want to be stringent. I'm sick, but I want to be stringent. So I say, so fast another day. Make up the fast, because you're making up this one. Because the rabbis said, we didn't institute it for you. It doesn't exist for you. If a person's sick, so then there's no rabbinic fast. They didn't make the fast for sick people. They said, bimkom choli, when a person's ill, lo gazru, we didn't make this institution. So if a person says, I want to do it anyway, so then he's making up his own religion. Okay, so you can fast a different day too. It doesn't matter. It has nothing to do with Judaism. It has nothing to do with Tanis Esther. So that's, okay, so coming back to here. So we just discussed the rabbinic prohibition of taking something and heating it up, like taking fresh water and heating them up, putting it on in a place where it could become Yatzo Ledesbo, even though your intention is to take it away before it becomes Yatzo Ledesbo. Okay, so that's that. Okay. Yeah.